This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the video that's gone viral online of UConn head coach Dan Hurley voicing his displeasure with the referees and the Huskies' loss to the number one ranked Florida Gators. Charlotte Sports Live's own Joey Ellis took that video and then was confronted by UConn Director of Communications Bobby Mullen. Mullen asked for that video that had gone viral to be removed. He then threatened Joey, saying he would, quote, ruin his life if he didn't. This was heard by multiple other reporters and staff on hand. Our management asked Mullen for a statement on the incident, and here's what he said. The lasting image of Coach Hurley leaving the court should have been his walking off the court arm-in-arm with the seniors, overwhelmed with emotion. Instead, a reporter who was in an area he should not have been recorded on his cell phone a private comment made to members of another coaching staff, end quote. Charlotte Sports Live and Queen City News stand by Joey Ellis' reporting.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. So we talked about this yesterday. We talked about Danny Hurley.
The other Hurley.
The other Hurley.
And is that the name of his documentary?
And his deportment following the game, where he said the right things when he was interviewed on the floor. Then he walks off and he tells apparently the Baylor coaching staff, I hope they don't blank you. We played the audio like they blanked us. I hope they don't go after you, Baylor. Something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Saying that the officiating was against him and implying that they would have won the game had it not been. They lost to Florida. Florida was a better team than them. It was a good game. It was one of the highest quality games we've seen.
High level game.
But so someone catches that on video. It's been like there's over a million hits on this thing. It's everywhere.
Well, he is the as he has told us,
yes,
the best coach in college basketball.
I gotta tell you, I believe he is.
Okay,
I'm telling you
that's a different debate.
But
he's a prominent coach.
He
defines the program.
He's just won 2 titles.
Yeah,
he was going for his third.
He defines the program. He is in that role a public figure. Everything that he says outside of his coaching room, outside of his locker room, is fair game. You've got to know that you are being watched, you're being evaluated, and as the most visible employee of your university, you have a responsibility to represent it in that way. with class,
right,
and professionalism. And when you don't go after, don't shoot the messenger.
Well,
don't shoot the messenger.
You know, what's remarkable to me is that, so Dan Hurley has this horrible moment where he says that stuff, and it's just typical of his personality. That's how he is. He just acts like the world's against him, and he's, and so his SID, the communications director of the program, goes up to this guy who has sent it out on Twitter, take that down or I will ruin your Blanken life.
Bobby Mullen, that's the director of communications.
We're missing a Blanken in there.
Yes.
He swore at him, he cursed at him, and then he told the guy was in the wrong position, everything else.
He said a reporter was in an area he should not have been.
Yes.
Recorded on his cell phone a private comment made to members of another coaching staff. There's nothing private about that comment. Not when it comes in the hallway of a basketball arena.
And so he tells this journalist that he's going to ruin his life. Then he goes on Twitter, and this is the text that he put up. He has since taken it down. He says in this text, I have a journalism degree, and I know the difference between reporting and seeking out gotcha moments. My temper flared a bit in a moment of weakness after a loss, but I think the journalists I work with regularly can vouch for me.
I mean, that's not an apology.
He then takes that down.
That's not an apology.
That's
not journalism. That's not a knowledge of journalism either.
I bully everyone,
yeah,
including the guys I work with, just they'll vouch for me. I swear at and threaten to ruin the lives of everybody covering our team.
Threaten to ruin his life.
What the hell is that?
Yeah,
that guy should not have a job. What Hurley did is just goofy in him, but what this guy did, because you're going to report on it and you're in the wrong area, take it down. I will ruin your life.
Well, let's face it. You can't do anything to Danny Hurley besides have a conversation with him and ask him to be more in control of his emotions, as one should, even though he's prone to that, even though you love his antics and all those things. I think that enough's enough, and he needs to have a better professional decorum. Win or lose.
Yes.
And that, we can agree on that.
No shadow of a doubt.
But when you are employed and your job is a director of communications is to have the message.
Yeah.
You're the filter.
Exactly.
You're the conduit.
Exactly.
You can't be spewing what he spewed.
No.
And I think that what he did would qualify as a fireable offense in many people's eyes.
What? His journalism degree? And he knows a guy who's looking for a gotcha? Listen, this guy is, as you said, a public figure. He yells to the opposing team.
You didn't have to go far to look for a gotcha.
No.
All you had to do was listen.
That's it.
And
talk to your coach about his deportment. Don't threaten somebody or their career.
And let's make a distinction here. If this was in the locker room, which is often considered the inner sanctum for players and coaches, then there would be a broader discussion about what people have access to and should have access to.
No question about that.
But this was in a hallway
where he's
walking
yelling
down the tunnel where thousands of people are, and you can hear him within earshot of wherever. If you had really good seats, you probably could still hear him screaming, and he's screaming expletives. And now if you have a head coach, the most prominent head coach in the sport, just ask him.
You are
yelling four-letter words
mean to him.
Against. I'm not mean to him.
He's a great coach. But that stuff's got to get cleaned up.
Well, both things can be true.
You can.
He's
put
a great
team
coach,
together,
and he can run a program.
Yes.
But enough with the antics.
Enough with the antics.
Grow up already.
I listen. I understand. He's emotional. His feelings are hurt. He didn't get his three-peat. He's broken his rear end all year. He's worked to get this team together, and they played really well. And they play his style of basketball. It's really well coached. I just think that to go off the way he did and to do it in a public setting, that is That is free license to anyone.
It is fair game.
To shoot it and record
it. It's fair game when you're Danny Hurley.
And I'm glad I saw it, frankly.
I am too.
It makes me feel differently about him. I have nothing but respect for him in terms of the X's and O's. But he's got to get his act together.
Yeah, he does. His players should not be the ones that are setting the example of how to handle a loss better than their coach, who is an adult and a professional and paid handsomely to represent a university as their foremost spokesman.
And I'm sure this Mullen guy makes a good living, and his job is to protect Dan Hurley from himself in many ways. But to then try to bully someone who is making a recording of it, put it out.
It suggests that all the winning has insulated them from reality.
That's
exactly
correct.
And they're in this little cocoon of success. And outside of that, they don't understand how the real world functions and how journalism now functions. And to give a lecture on journalism in a tweet is ridiculous and absurd.
It's crazy. And it's such a bad look. And I mean, I get it. They won 13 straight games in the tournament. That doesn't happen by happenstance. That is a really well-coached, well-run program, but that doesn't give you the right to tell people how to proceed. He's walking hand-in-hand with his players. Never mind his yelling. Just show him hoping that the seniors turn out okay. It's a lot of garbage.
It is.
And honestly, they need to do something about it. It's not a good look.
You can see all kinds of examples of how to handle tough losses throughout this tournament. You can see, you know, players being consoled by coaches or players consoling players or just examples of how to deal with defeat.
You're
and
absolutely
that's one of the best, not one of the best things about the tournament, but it's one of these things about the tournament that the images that you see after people fall short of their goal, and it's the last time they're going to be together as a team. In some cases, it might be the last time the guy is going to play. Those are the kinds of things where you are growth opportunities. What you saw from Connecticut was the height of immaturity.
It is the height of entitlement. Like, he actually believes because he won the first two titles, he deserves the third, and you make a call in my favor so I can win. And if you don't, then you're working against me. Insane. It's just madness.
Well, during the game, as we referenced yesterday, the way that he was going after the officials once the game was in hand for Florida, you worried, or at least I wondered, are we going to see some sort of incident here?
Yes.
Is he going to lose his top to the degree that he can't control his emotions or his anger? And that's where I think it becomes a problem. And I understand everybody loves the intensity of coaches on the sideline, going back to the Bobby Knight style of coaching. And those kinds of things are accepted on the sidelines in sports. But I just think that when you do that, you've got to control yourself when you're not in that 40 minutes of action. And when you're walking off a court, you're still it isn't your arena, so to speak. You've got to behave better than Danny Hurley has behaved.
I totally agree with you.
And you don't defend it if you are his spokesperson or the communications director. You don't certainly give a journalism lecture to somebody doing his job and capturing that on video.
I mean, and this guy, along with Bobby Hurley, is teaching people the wrong things. That's not the lesson that you want people to take away. You don't want people coming out of the thing thinking, wow, you know, if I'm going to be a head coach, I need to be able to cuss out the referees. I need to be able to bully anyone I can because I'm more important than everyone. That is a bad lesson to learn.
Texter says, I was able to blank out from 815. I was able to blank out Hurley's name for a second. I thought you were talking about Bob Knight, and that it didn't
end
well.
You know what? But that really is true. And I thought when he was going to go after the referee and all, I thought he could pull a Bobby Knight.
Well, entitlement and anger are a bad combination.
Yeah.
You can get drunk with success, and that is what I think happened, or at least appears to have happened at Connecticut. And they have not lost. They had 13 straight NCAA tournament victories, and it's one of the most successful, historic NCAA tournament runs. But when it comes to an end, handle it with class. And they did not. So I think there should be some ramifications. I don't know what happens to Bobby or Danny Hurley. I don't think anything will happen to Danny Hurley. I wonder what will happen to his communications director. That'll be curious to find out.
And I think it's going to end poorly. If you're the university, if you're Connecticut, is that what you want representing you? Is that okay? Is he doing his job? I think he's in trouble.
I wonder how many Connecticut players are in the portal this morning.
Do you think, like they almost always do, you know, the CBS, TBS, TNT, wherever the games end up, they usually bring in coaches that have been ousted in the mm-hmm. tournament. Is there any chance based on this that Danny Hurley ends up on one of those sets, or will this
absolutely
keep that?
Absolutely.
He needs to talk sooner than later. The longer he doesn't address this and kind of apologize for the whole situation, the worse. Because, again, this is a distraction.
He will not apologize.
He might need to apologize because of what the communications person did.
I doubt that he apologizes. Guys like that don't apologize. They just regroup.
I'm suggesting he should apologize.
Oh, I think, yeah, but if you're saying that, and it's Tuesday morning, and he hasn't yet, he's not going to.
Right, the longer it goes, the worse it gets.
You're right. You're right.
The time was yesterday. The time was when you got home and you realized exactly what you did in lighting that match.
And would you be disappointed if a CBS put him on the set and they didn't address it?
If they didn't address it, it'd be an embarrassment to CBS or whoever.
But you're okay
would
with them putting him on as long as they address it.
Yeah, because I think that he's a compelling figure. I wouldn't like to watch him, but I think that I understand it.
If there wasn't the idea of the SID bullying the reporter, trying to control the message, I think that's the story here. I don't think the coach, it may reflect on that he's like a bad sport, but I don't think that would forbid him.
I think Mo's exactly right. What made a bad situation worse was when you got the director saying that he was threatening to ruin somebody's career, because that brought more attention and light on the entitlement that exists at Connecticut.
In fact, I changed my position on it yesterday when we kind of talked about it more off the air than on the air. I was kind of like, I don't think this is necessarily bad for college basketball. This is terrible for college basketball.
It is
because
now.
We're talking here. What have we spent time on this morning on this show? The transfer portal and this coach being a jerk and his SID or information guy, whatever he is, being even more than a jerk.
Yeah.
Now, is that because we're negative?
Instead of talking
is that
about,
because we're negative?
No. That's because that's what's
it's
going on.
A huge
on.
Story.
But
it's
no, I'm asking rhetorically. I think you're right though, because and that Dustin, I'm sorry, but that reinforces this idea that the tournament isn't exactly clicking on all cylinders. It is somewhat broken.
And we're going to talk to Mike DeCourcy. I'm wondering if he's interacted with this guy. I'm sure he has.
He's close to him. I think he's probably had
not Dan Hurley.
Oh, the communications director.
Yes.
I would like to know what his perspective is on
I'd like to know,
somebody who works with him regularly.
I'd like to know if Mike, and I'm sure over the course of his career, he's broken a ton of stories and talked about a bunch of people. I wonder how often somebody tries to manipulate him. You know, as a journalist, it is your job to portray the truth as you see it. There are different roles. There are sports columnists that are paid to comment upon it. But if you're a beat guy, if you're working a beat, you have to be fair in all aspects, and you can't let personal relationships with the various people you're covering,
it's really difficult,
change the way you report what's going on.
It's difficult, but I think it's possible. And Mike would be a good professional to get his perspective on this, because it happens all the time on smaller scales. Certainly it's not something that spills out into the national, you know, consciousness. And we have a conversation about this, the state of the tournament based on this. Back to what Dustin was saying, though, Dan Hurley in the studio would be compelling television because of who he is in college basketball and because of the way he left and all of those things. So that, but that alone would make him worth watching. I think that alone would make him compelling. The fact that the guy behind the scenes has created a bigger stir, he's not going to go in. He's going to be a name you can't even remember tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I do think that he made the bad situation worse. But yeah, well, Dan Hurley should be in a studio.
I'm Mulligan and his name's Mullen, so it's easier for me. Not to get into the haw-haw thing again.
But Hauk. The Florida player's name is Hauk.
Sorry.
My name is Haw.
The two of you had a schism, and he moved to Pennsylvania, and they changed.
We don't talk about that in our family.
We don't.
Would you stop bringing it up?
Don't
please.
Even mention.
There was a Haw schism.
Don't mention the schism.
Haw and Haw, like, what are you doing? Well, I'm taking my buggy and I'm going to Pennsylvania.
My buggy.
He's the Amish side of the family.
Yeah, yes. Apparently.
So they're going to Pennsylvania, buggy. And now they have an athletic family too. I never played in the NCAA tournament.
But you are an Indiana schoolboy legend. We know that. We've said.
I don't think I'd go legend.
He's an Indiana boy.
That's exactly right. This guy's from Pennsylvania.
Yes, he is.
And he can't even pronounce his own name.
I know. We need to have a talk. If he gets to the Final Four, I may have to reach out.
Yeah. That, I would love to have him on the air and have you question the pronunciation of his name. How it got? Where do you get the K
what
from?
What was your dad thinking?
How does the GH become a K?
Exactly. I've been called a lot of things.
Anyone ever call you Hauk?
No.
Yeah.
My name has been mispronounced as How, Half, Ho, all sorts of things. Never Hauk.
I remember we had a substitute teacher when I was in high school, and everybody kind of changed their name. I claimed that the correct pronunciation was Meegan because the two L's become a Y. She didn't buy it.
The Hispanic branch of your family.
But
Meegan.
And my buddy Billy Johnson said his name was Janssen because they were close. And she didn't buy any of it except she called Glenn Blau, who is our goalie on my soccer team in high school, Blog. He corrected her to Blog, and she called him Blog the whole day, and we were all just delighted.
The first blogger.
We got one buyer. Just the one. All right, we got Mike DeCourcy. I can't wait to talk to him about this stuff. And to me, I want to get his take on the fact that there are no Cinderellas. There are no mid-majors. It's a four-conference tournament. He had a perfect bracket going. Maybe he anticipated all of this. We'll talk to Mike next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mike DeCourcy, talking college hoops with Mully and Haw. Sporty News college hoops columnist. Big Ten Network studio analyst. He's a Liverpool supporter, but we let him on anyways. Mike DeCourcy with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to the man with the perfect bracket. I wonder if it's been broken. Mike DeCourcy does an awesome job, and he joins us on the Mully and Haw Show at the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Morning, Mike. How are you, buddy? Perfect?
Not quite. I think I have to go back and double check, but I think I have 13 of the Sweet 16, but I'm not 100%.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
That's great.
That's really good.
And you know, it's we've talked about it this morning. There are only four conferences represented and only one team, Duke from the ACC. And there used to be, I guess, since 1975, there were at least seven conferences. But all the talent seems to be in the super conferences, and there are none of the kind of underdog, mid-major, buzzer-beater stories that we've come to expect in a tournament.
Well, that's true, but one of the things that has to be acknowledged is that not all those teams that are in the conferences now were always in those conferences. I mean, Houston was not in the Big 12 as recently as 3 years ago, and now they're a number one seed in this tournament. They have been in multiple different conferences. I mean, I was in less than 30 years ago, I was around Memphis when they formed Conference USA out of the Great Midwest and the remnants of the Metro. And Houston was in that league, and they were like, sort of like, oh, yeah, you can come too. It wasn't like, oh, good, we got Houston. It was like, oh, well, okay, we might as well take them. They're in a big city. I mean, and now look at where they are. So, like, the underdog story is redefined, but no one wants to acknowledge that because it doesn't fit the narrative.
It's redefined, yes. I miss the mid-majors, I'll acknowledge, because you do long for or lament the absence of the Butlers or Valparaisos, Mike. But I do think there are reasons that you point out quite well. And you also, as you have said this on the X feed, maybe this is also the result of the committee getting better at seeding the brackets, and I guess that's a possibility. Even though I'll admit, I felt like the first weekend was somewhat disappointing because we don't have that Cinderella story to latch on to, but maybe it's just a product of better seeding.
Well, one of the things, too, David, is that we did have a couple of pretty cool upsets, Drake beating Missouri, and we had McNeese take down Clemson, so we did have some of those. We certainly had some close calls along the way. I mean, Maryland needed to make certainly not an impossible shot, but a kind of ridiculous shot in order to be able to take out Colorado State. So we had moments like that. And I will say that I just don't know how anybody who could sit down, and I was fortunate to have this because we circled this as a huge game to watch, the Arkansas-St. John's game. I mean, it wasn't beautiful basketball, but it was the most ferociously competitive athletic event I can remember seeing. Those players were after it so hard because they were playing for their coach. They were playing for the Sweet 16. Each side really wanted that. And it was they were contesting every inch of the court. The ball went on the floor, and 17 guys dove after him. And there were guys from the bench diving after it practically. It was amazing. And I can't look at that and say I'm disappointed. I can't look at this weekend and see all these great matchups that we're going to have and say, boy, I wish we had a team in there that we all know isn't going to win another game. I mean, I don't know that there's that many that are in this group that can't make the Final Four.
I know what you're saying, but Mike, don't you miss a little bit of the storylines that are brought into this week by some of those Cinderella stories that are missing or teams that are missing from this batch? No?
I'll be honest, Dave. I'm not a storyline guy.
Okay.
I'm a ball guy.
Fair enough.
I mean, I like sports. I'm not that wild. Some of the stories that are ancillary to the tournament distract me. I want to see great games. And you know, the more Derrick Queen type moments we have, the better. And there are, and let's be honest, Dave, there are storylines. I mean, Derrick's great answer to my friend Annie Katz when asked, how he made that shot, and he just said, "I'm from Baltimore."
Yeah,
I mean, that's great stuff. And even to a negative extent, the way Dan Hurley handled the disappointment of the Florida game, there's still that to discuss. So there's other things aside from just the games that still catch our attention.
I agree with you. We were talking this morning because we're talking a lot even during the break because we've both been, attempted to be bullied by SIDs, by a lot of general managers, coaches, whatever, in our careers. And I hate this story. I hate this idea that this – have you dealt with Mullen, the SID, the communications guy, who threatened to ruin a guy's life because he – had a video of Danny Hurley swearing and cursing about the officiating?
Yeah, I have never had a problem at all. I was trying to do the math of where the reporter was to try to figure out why he wouldn't be allowed to be videotaped, because I was in an area that I think might have been identical and certainly was similar. The arena at Raleigh was a little bit geographically confusing for me, I'll admit. But I, at one point, I remember it was either before or after the Duke game. I think it was before. I was trying to get to a locker room or get to the line to get to the locker room. And there were at least 8 to 10 television cameras that I think were focused on Duke as they prepared to go out onto the floor to take their warm-ups prior to the Baylor game. And they were all filming because I had to duck them so that I wouldn't get in their shots. So I don't know why anybody wouldn't have been permitted to do the video that the reporter did there. And so I don't understand what the concern was. I think they just didn't like the product. And I don't know how a UConn SID would ruin a Charlotte reporter's life anyway. I'm not sure. I mean, if the person was on the beat, okay, I could see that, but I don't think that person's going to have many occasions to cover UConn.
That's why it just smacks of entitlement and somebody that is over his skis in terms of what his power and reach really is. Mike, but back to basketball. You like the games. You like what happens on the court. Let's focus on that. You saw Duke play. I think they played as well as any team in the tournament so far. Florida, of course, kept pulling out that game against UConn. They look like they're going to be in the Final Four. What stood out to you overall, and how good did Duke look up close and personal?
Yeah, this was my second chance to get a chance, the second and third, I guess, if you count the 1-16 game. I don't really. I'll confess, I think I was writing a piece at the time and only looked up a little bit because there wasn't much to see. This was my second chance to see Duke in a real game, and they're very impressive. They have three automatic lock top 10 picks. Every time I see Kaman Malawach, he looks better, looks more comfortable, looks more comprehensive as a player. Not just a tall guy who can block shots, but a guy who really understands how to get teammates open, how to defend on the perimeter when he's playing in a pick and roll or that sort of thing. Really terrific. Con Knipple, at one point he made this ridiculous layup, and Brendan Marks from The Athletic has said, you know, there are a lot of times in these games when he's the third or fourth option for this team, how ridiculous is that? Because he's so gifted. And then, of course, anytime you get a chance to see Cooper Flagg, it's a treat. He is just a phenomenal talent and approaches the game beautifully. It's a terrific team and one that I picked to win it all, and it'll take a great effort from someone to surpass them in the next four games. I thought Florida, honestly, was not very good in their UConn game. The fact that UConn's two top perimeter shooters, Liam McNeely and Alex Caravan, shot something like 3 of 17 from deep, and they still were in the game right to the end. That did not say good things about Florida. It said great things about UConn that they were able to compete like that. But Florida needed Walter Clayton to be better than he was for the first 32 minutes. He was phenomenal for the last eight. I think he had 10 points in the last eight points in the last 8 minutes, and they were decisive. But they're going to have to be better, and they're going to have to be way better. Of course, so is Maryland, because they weren't very good on Sunday either.
Right.
But those two teams, that's the Sweet 16 matchup will be most consequential. The one that will be most fun will be Alabama versus BYU. But I think both Florida and Maryland have a chance to win this. And so Maryland doesn't have enough guys, but they have enough talent.
Right.
And having talent is better than having depth. So I think they have a chance, but they have the most difficult Sweet 16 matchup short of being matched with Duke. So it'll be hard.
I think Florida looks like a team. I thought they played kind of the way Connecticut won two titles. I think Florida is better than Maryland. I think they're better than Texas Tech or Arkansas. I think they're
right.
They're then going to be really challenged. But I don't find these two games as challenging for them because of the way they can play.
They're going to have to defend. It's helpful to them that they have four bodies to do it.
Yes.
They've got four really good big guys. But they're going to have to defend Queen and Reese.
Yes.
And, of course, they'll only have to defend Queen and Reese if their teammates remember that Queen and Reese are on their team. Because they forgot all about it against Colorado State until the last play.
That's great. Well, and I also think that the fact that they are, you know, they're the Crab Five, but they don't have a six.
They really don't have a lot of depth.
Beyond that, it's not like – so, I would go after them a little bit and try to get them in foul trouble and try to see if you could, take advantage of the depth.
Oh, absolutely. The only time in this tournament when depth is really an issue is foul trouble or injury.
Yes. Yes.
It's helpful to have another. It's helpful to have another answer if somebody's just not playing at all. If you had another R.J. Lewis sitting on the bench at St. John's, maybe they could have done better. But R.J. goes 3 of 17, and you've got no answers beyond that. So Maryland, it could be problematic if either or if any of their players really, but especially the two inside guys, got into foul trouble, they're going to have problems. But Florida doesn't. Although they can score on the move, and that could be problematic, they don't really post much. So just getting the ball inside, probably not going to be something that they do. They could try to get those guys in foul trouble just by attacking the rim off the bounce and that sort of thing. And it could be problematic for Maryland. But with all the rest that they get in these games, long TV timeouts, 20-minute halftime,
Yeah,
it certainly is. If you can survive the absence of depth, this is the tournament to do it.
Quickly, Mike, before we let you go, a lot of conversation about the transfer portal being open this week. Michigan's dealing with Scottie Pippen's son being a guy who entered the portal while they prepare for a Sweet 16 game. Is this likely to change? Is it on the NCAA's radar? What can they do?
It's hard for them to change it because this is really not about sports so much. I mean, I realize that the transfer portal is, but this is largely about the academic calendar, and that's why it pops up when it does. For football, it's a little bit less – they have a little bit more leeway in basketball season than they do in football season. Starting in March, they could wait until the end of the regionals or the Final Four because you'd only have four teams out of 364 if you waited till after the regionals to open it. But this is really an accommodation for students, not so, as much as basketball players, because they have to find new academic homes in a period of time when those decisions are usually – already made by most universities for the typical student, for the non-athlete. So I think that has a lot to do with why this opens when it does. And I'm a little bit more forgiving than some because I understand I'm allowing myself to understand that this isn't just about sports. It's also about students finding new places to go study.
Really interesting. All right, Mike. Thank you, buddy. Great stuff as always. Remind me, your Final Four is?
My Final Four, and they're all they're all still standing.
Yep.
Florida,
yep.
Michigan State.
Oh, that's good.
Duke and Tennessee.
Great stuff.
That's great.
Thanks for your perspective, Mike.
Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
That is Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, the Big Ten Network. Really been around a long time, knows it.
Oh, he does. Great perspective and insight there. And despite what Dustin has said in terms of ripping my St. John's pick, I do still have three of those four teams left.
And,
same as
and
Mike.
Dustin, I have all four.
Oh, my God.
He's off of Chesty today.
He's
you asked. I'm answering a question.
I didn't recall asking you what your Final Four was.
Brandon, you
just wanted everybody
four?
To assume that I didn't have all four left.
Brandon, I'm with David. I got three out of four.
Thank you.
Who did you lose?
I got St. John's.
Oh,
I'm with David.
Okay.
But see, you would never know that you
said
picked St. John's, too.
You keep talking about it. I'm just standing in the back.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Dustin's pointing a finger at me. He's sitting next to the guy that also picked St. John's.
I have a perfect
I don't
bracket.
Attack Dustin on the regular like
my
you
my bracket is perfect right now just because I filled out another one.
You have only six.
Should we redo should we do a 16 bracket?
We can do whatever you want.
I think we're almost going to have to.
You're the boss, man.
Because
you're calling the shots.
Two of our four have picked the wrong team.
We want to let them back into the competition. Yeah.
Yes. I think they're just going to copy Dustin's picks.
I know David's not going to pick Michigan because they're in shambles right now because of Scottie Pippen's son wanting to go somewhere else to actually play basketball.
Whoever we pick, the tournament's down to 16 teams. College Hoops coverage on the Score brought to you by Bet365.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
All right, here we go. 3.7 seconds left. Maryland has not made a shot in the last 2:27. If they don't make one here, their season is over. Gillespie to inbound. He finds Queen. Queen turns, puts it up at the buzzer, and in! Maryland is headed to the Sweet 16 for the second time in 22 years! It's the freshman, Derek Queen. He's the Maryland hero.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the student call, right? The play-by-play guy there is a student, and that is their
passionate
radio station calling the
He recorded it, and he definitely rose to the occasion. I think his name is, was it Jacob Gillespie? Yeah, so he is somebody that was ready for the moment and rose to the occasion. Oh, wait, that wasn't, that's not him. Now, Tyler Lochte, the co-station director of WMUC Sports, Maryland's student-run radio station. And he went viral. March Madness indeed. Good for him.
Great stuff. Now, that is a student athlete. He's not an athlete, but that's a student. You know, when Mike said that you're deciding where you want to study. I never think of it that way. When I look at the portal, I don't think the guys are looking, hey, I can get into a better school. I think they're looking, hey, I can get paid more.
That answer surprised me.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
But I think he's been around sport a very long time. So back to our Sweet 16s. You wanted to redo
yes.
them?
Yeah, we're going to redo them.
I don't know that I need to redo much.
I
blew the St. John's pick.
Okay.
My other picks are okay.
Really? I had Clemson going further, and I had St. John's going further.
I've got Michigan State, Duke, and Tennessee, and I picked St. John's, and now Florida is my new team. So I really like Florida.
I had Auburn and Michigan, and the problem is
sold me on Florida.
I got Michigan going through. I have Florida.
You sold me on Florida. I was underestimating them.
Thank you.
And I didn't want to go chalk either, like some other people.
Yeah, but they're a number one seed.
I know, so you have to almost go chalk if you pick them,
and
like some other people.
Same thing with Duke.
Well, Duke can be
don't
a sentimental choice and a chalk
don't
choice.
Don't you have Duke in your final?
Yes, I do.
I do, too. Yeah. So that's alive. Final's alive. Florida didn't impress him.
I have Duke and Michigan State in the final. Michigan State,
yes,
they just find a way.
They're playing Ole Miss. Ole Miss was a 6 seed.
What's Dustin smirking at?
And Michigan State.
What are you smirking at?
You went so far out on a limb to pick all number two seeds. I mean, whoo. I mean, the Johnny's a 2 seed, the Vols a 2 seed, Duke a 1 seed, and Michigan State
Dustin,
a 2
maybe
seed.
Maybe I saw this coming. Maybe I saw the absence of Cinderella a mile away.
Yeah, well, let's zone in on where one of the biggest seed that's out is not there. And this has nothing to do with the fun
Johnny's.
One. But yeah. Texas Tech, Arkansas.
I don't have that game.
Okay, that's a good question. Arkansas is one of those teams coming together at the right time. They are a product of John Calipari's coaching, his talent acquisition, his player evaluation. It's all coming together at the right time for the Hogs. And I think the Hogs.
Suey.
Hog saw Suey.
Well. I'm all in on Suey.
Hawk.
Hawk Suey. Yeah, I'm in on that. Listen, John Calipari has a lot of people, a lot of detractors. I find him very interesting.
Good for college basketball.
I think he's good for college basketball. Agreed. His charisma is to me, very entertaining.
Ran into him once in Vegas at a fight at a, what's his name? You know, Merriweather fight.
Yeah. We were in the same restaurant.
And Cal was there?
Cal was there. We were in the same restaurant, yeah.
We kind of had the same order. Didn't we send our bill over to him? Hey, John, buy this.
It was either him or Mitch, so.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
Hog sauce. Sweet!